It's the first day of the spring today, so and the weather outside actually proves that we have turned the corner. And in terms of, I think this is the right one.
Yeah.
We heard from a number of speakers this morning, Allison, John in particular, earlier on, from Andrew and Adam from Lloyd's. And this is the picture we have at the moment around patients leaving their home, going and getting admitted to a hospital, and then getting discharged back home. And when we started our consultations with patients, with clinicians, with pharmacists in the community, and all the other people who look after patients in out-of-hospital situation, everybody thought that when John, sorry to use your name, John, when John goes to hospital, everybody here in the medical practices, in the community pharmacies over there, actually know that John's in hospital. And they don't. And when John goes out of hospital and goes back home with all the medication changes and adding to his 16 list of medicines that he didn't want to take, he goes home, and the community pharmacy who was doing his prescriptions the week before and probably got something in a bag ready for John to collect didn't know that he's been discharged back home. The GP gets to know this, and depending which hospital you work in, within a day, 2 days, I think it's 48 hours, they get a copy of a discharge, and by the time they get to deal with it, the 7-day medication that John was given coming out of hospital is just about to run out. And somebody knocking at the GP's door, 4 o'clock on a Friday, saying, I want my new medicines. And everybody's running around saying, oh, John's discharged, where is it, where is it, where is it? And it causes a confusion. And poor John, who's not well, ends up taking some of the old medicines that probably ended up caused his admission into the hospital in the first place. So what we want to do is that to change that. And this is what we set out in Cheshire and Merseyside to do. And when we talk to all these people and we said that we like people to communicate with each other, and Alison and others earlier on talked about that everybody around the health economy looking after that patient needs to talk to each other. We come up with a very, very innovative technological phrase, no-brainer. Yeah, it's absolute no-brainer, isn't it? That if John goes to hospital, people who look after him when he's out of hospital need to know what's happening to him. Yeah? So this is what where we started. This is our starter for 10. Okay? So we set out by having key objectives of what we want to do. And that was to create a fully integrated system that connects people together so that we can get clinical information going between settings. And not forgetting the 640 community pharmacies we have in Cheshire and Merseyside, because they're clinicians. There's a resource out there, and like one of our speakers earlier, I think Adam from Lloyd said, it's a shame just to get them to stick labels on boxes. Get them to talk to John about his medicines and make sure his medicines is optimized, which is the agenda for today. Okay? And enhancing that communication was the key element to deliver a timely, positive, and measurable patient outcomes and experience. So what we want to do is put patients at the heart of what we want to do and get everybody else surrounding that patient journey to talk to each other, to work with each other, and get the best thing that John deserves. Okay? So we set up a key objectives, and we wanted to make sure that the new Merseyside, Cheshire and Merseyside Sustainability and Transformation Plans, the STP, we can link with elements of the STP. And these are the sort of things we picked out of the STP. And we are linking what we are doing through our project in Cheshire and Merseyside. We are linking with John Moores University to academically evaluate the impact of what we are trying to do. And the things with little asterisks next to them are the things that are key elements being evaluated during our actual study done by John Moores University, by a PhD student. Okay? But these are the key outlines. These, we have not deviated from these five. We want to make sure any system we put in the pharmacy, in the hospital, that communicates out of hospital, these are our sort of tablet of stone, Ten Commandments. I'm not Ed Miliband, and if I not successful, don't hold me against the tablet of stone. But we want to make sure there is admission notification from to community pharmacies. We want to make sure admission notification goes to GPs. We want to make sure discharge information goes to community pharmacies and notification. And finally, to make sure that everything is, all the bits are connected together and we can iron out any problems, we are setting up a secure hub to monitor all the communications to make sure that we can make sure if there are any hiatuses, any problems in that communication channels, we can iron them out. Okay? And these are the list of things that we want to make sure that our system is going to do. And to make sure, in the hospitals, in some of the hospitals at the moment, somebody in the hospital says, oh, John is not well and his medication is likely to change, or he gets a blister pack and everybody thinks blister pack is the new nanny, but that's not the case. So they're making a blister pack and or better ring the pharmacy. Ring the pharmacy, is engaged, and ring 10 minutes later and then eventually do a fax and then ring back to make sure they receive the fax. It's a very clunky way, and sometimes there could be some missing of information on the notifications. So what we want to do then is turn all that to an electronic transfer of care, and this is where we put the E into the transfer of care to pharmacy, and it became ETCP. Okay? And in short, and just to sum it up, the key system objectives I spoke about, the key features we talked about, the five things, and through NHS England and the local professional pharmacy local professional network, we've procured some funding to make sure this can happen. And we ask our Cheshire and Merseyside hospitals who would like to participate. And there was recent documents that was issued by the chief pharmacist in September talking about hospital pharmacy needs to talk more closely with their community colleagues. And this supported that. And our hospital chief pharmacist, who I communicated with, 12 of them have come forward to push the project forward. This is an example of what we think should happen. This is not tablet of stone. We want professionals to do their best professionally for the patients. So these are just an example. But the sort of things we like to happen is that when a patient arrives in hospital, we don't want every notification to go out. I think there is the risk that people would miss the wood, don't see the wood because of all the trees. Yeah. So what we want to do is that the hospital pharmacy team have some sort of a selection criteria so that they can pick up patients who are at risk of medication changes, at risk of if those medication changes and end up taking their old medication are going to be at risk. So we want that risk identification. So there is a selection criteria, the sort of things we picked up, probably the blister pack patients, somebody after a cardiovascular event definitely going to have some new medication. And what we wanted to make sure was that notification was automatic. So the hospital pharmacy team have done the selection of who they want to be in the pathway, and they've selected it and in a sense put a tick next to their name, yeah? And everything else is then going to happen automatically so that you don't have to worry about the fax being printed on the fax paper, definitely at the other end, got paper in it, it's not run out of toner, somebody picks the phone on the other side, none of that. We want to remove all those risks. Okay? So a notification goes to community pharmacy. Again, the community pharmacies, they are professionals. They're all clinical, so there is no such a thing as clinical pharmacists in GP practice and clinical pharmacists in community pharmacy. They're all clinical pharmacists, and they're all had same 5 years education. Well, I had three. I'm a bit older. So they've all had 5 years education to get to where they are. And, you know, the sort of things that they could do is suspend the medication, wait for the discharge information, that sort of thing. And the practice team could do something very similar. Okay, there are things that are happening in the community through the GP practice. That patient might have had a home visit booked for that afternoon or the next day. Yeah? So those sort of things could be sorted. So we stop waste of resources. And the sort of thing that would likely to happen is that the automated discharge notification and discharge information goes to community pharmacy team. Community pharmacy would review that discharge information. There are post-discharge MURs available through community pharmacies for patients. And any outstanding prescriptions that they put on hold, they could review it against. And obviously talk to the GPs. We want to connect the community pharmacies with GP practices. If community pharmacy has access to the same discharge information about John as the GP has, community pharmacy and the GP could say, okay, these are the changes, we've identified it, make the GP's job a lot more slicker. So at 4 o'clock on a Friday, when John says, I want my new tablets, the GP says, oh, where is it? The community pharmacy says, oh, you know what? I got the same thing and I've reviewed it and these are the changes you need to make. Working together to make the life of patients better, it should be our agenda. We're not here to look after our own interests. Although if we do the patient bit right, in a sense, we've looked after our own interest. So we are still monitoring to make sure that there is no hiatuses in our communication. The good thing about doing the admission notification is if there was any hiatuses in the communication, we would have identified those and make sure that at the point of the really meaty information going out, which is the discharge information, we got the right community pharmacy connected to the hospital. The GPs would carry on getting their existing system, receiving their information and doing their own thing. But we want these to start talking to them. Yeah? We don't have silos. We have patients. We all work together to look after our patients. And this is the picture, that earlier picture with no arrows in it. This is the picture we want to develop, that John going to hospital triggers communication with community pharmacy, it triggers communication with GP practice, and we are making sure that these communications are all working in the best interest of the patients. And these are when we talk to all our stakeholders, these are the sort of benefits we identified: reduced medication error, support for concordance, less likelihood of readmission if the medication was the cause of admission in the first place. In the terms of hospital efficiency, possibly reduce 30-day readmission, safer for community pharmacies, managing patients' repeats, safer for GP practice. And also, some of the GP practices we talked to, they said, this way, if we get notification about somebody who is a high-risk patient having been admitted, they could put things in place for when they get discharged, they're ready to look after that patient better. And there are other key people, social care, right? I was talking to a patient forum on this hospital discharge. And one of the key people who was there was a lady from Liverpool City Council who does the home modification. She's in charge of the home modification to receive patients back home safely. And if the home is not modified sufficiently to receive that patient back home, the patient ends up sticking in the hospital for an extra 3 or 4 days waiting for that discharge. She said, can I have a copy of that admission notification? Well, why not? is the answer really. Is that because if she got to know somebody who is not well and needs their house modifying on admission, while they are spending 3, 4, 5, 7 days in hospital, the house can be sufficiently modified so that on the day of the discharge, they can go straight home. Again, another no-brainer. Okay? And there was a study in Newcastle, and what we did was we used the research data from Newcastle and we populated it based on the discharge. I mean, Aintree Hospital, for example, discharges, admits 45,000, nearly 46,000 patients a year. Using the data from Newcastle, and because this was a very concise study, 704 of those high-risk patients, if they were put into the pathway, would have prevented, my eyesight's not the same as it used to be when I was 30, 569 days reduction, bed days saved. And if you add across Cheshire and Merseyside in a year, nearly 5,000 days, bed days we save in Cheshire and Merseyside, and over £3 million. I mean, I know we've used another study, but that's why we want to evaluate our own study in a much more comprehensive way than the Newcastle. I hope that wasn't for me. I'll wrap it up quickly now. These are our 12 hospitals, and as you can see, we got the Cheshire ones are on the left, and the Merseyside ones are on the right. We have got Countess of Chester and Leighton Hospital at the moment going live very soon with our demonstrator sites. And we've started our conversations with Macclesfield, with Warrington. I'm seeing them this Thursday, with Beaumier next Tuesday morning. Whiston, I saw them last Tuesday. Royal and Aintree, I've just talked to Alison to tie the loose ends there. And Liverpool Heart and Chest, we saw them about a couple of weeks ago. So everybody is now getting into a program of plans to implement it in the next 12 months. And that's the map of Cheshire and Merseyside. For those of you who've come from far distances like Holland, this is Cheshire and Merseyside. It looks lovely, doesn't it? Right? And our project implementation, we are engaging with STP board, we are engaging with patients, we've engaged with clinicians, we engaged with innovation agency, that's why I'm here today, CPPE, which is pharmacy education, and the project rollout. And we put robust governance arrangements because we're partnering with NHS Innovation Agency to roll out the program. Andrew Cairns and Andrew Shakeshaft, the two Andrews. Apparently, if your name's Andrew, you guarantee the job at the Innovation Agency. So we're working with them. We got these partnerships to make sure that we can meet our really, really ambitious. Where this has happened in other parts of the country has been one NHS trust in one region. We're doing 12. So you, NHS England, Cheshire and Merseyside, buy one, get 11 free. Where else can you get that sort of value? And I think this is really, it's just to make sure that because we are using public funding, we are using NHS money, we're making sure there are sufficient governance arrangements so that everything that happens has to go through the pharmacy local professional network to make sure that everything meets the criteria. And there are two system providers out there, and I think both of them are presenting today at the back, but you know, it's not about systems, it's about making sure the communication happens. So that's why I left that to the last slide. I didn't want to talk about, is this system better than that system? If both of them can deliver the five things we talked about, that is what we are. We want to deliver. We are agnostic about the system. We're absolutely religious about the communication. Does that make sense? And I think that's it. Thank you very much for listening.